When you're faced with a reading like today's Old Testament reading, you grasp at any straws possible to find something of good news in the gospel, anywhere, any place, any time. Such was my struggle last night. It was very late at night, and I was sitting on my couch, and in the background, my music was playing away on some kind of playlist. And all of a sudden, I realized that a phrase was repeating itself in the song that was on. And I listened for a brief moment, because I was really quite preoccupied with what I was thinking about. And it was a song by Dido. And the line that keeps getting repeated is, "No love without freedom. No freedom without love." Interesting, isn't it? There is no love without freedom. We cannot possibly imagine what it is to love others if we are not free ourselves. And yet, we cannot be free if we do not love. Both are true. And in today's Old Testament reading, we hear the complete opposite of that. We hear about the desire that we have to obtain things that aren't ours and the lengths to which we will go to do it. The Old Testament reading reminds us of our capability for violence, our capability for absolute greed. I don't know if you've ever had an instant in your life when you became overcome by those feelings so strongly that you finally recognized it. I remember once I was in an altercation in my family, not a fisticuff altercation, but a verbal one, and it wasn't a good scene. And as I walked out the back door, I kicked on my way out the screen door in frustration. Completely dented the door, so much so that it could never be used again. And I was horrified. No, I hadn't perhaps taken my anger out on a person, but for the first time, as an adult, I realized the capability we have for great love and freedom, and for great greed and violence. The good news was, my stepdaughter said to me when I came back from my walk to cool off, I always hated that screen door anyway. There's a woman in the city who was a sinner. And she learned that Jesus was eating in the Pharisee's house, and she brought a jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with ointment. And Jesus said to Simon, the host, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." No love without freedom, no freedom without love. In that moment, in that sensual and beautiful moment, which absolutely shocked Simon and all those gathered for dinner, her freedom and love poured out of her onto Jesus. It's interesting, later he tells her, "Your sins are forgiven." But he has already told Simon the reason she's doing this is because she knows she's forgiven. She was there to say thank you. She had somewhere in her life experienced that great freedom of forgiveness and was pouring out her love on Jesus. Do you remember a moment in your life which is complete opposite of the kind I just talked about, but one where you acted in gratitude in that way, pouring out your love, your freedom in an instant, and recognizing later on, perhaps, that that was the moment when it all turned? Life looked different. Forgiveness and healing were realigned, and reigned, love and freedom ruled. Over the years, I've been to many clergy conferences, and there is a lot that happens at those conferences, a lot that I could never tell you. However, what happens at clergy conference stays at clergy conference. However, one thing that is common throughout all of the ones that I've been to is that we always have an opportunity for healing. You see, much pain attaches itself to us as clergy, and we have as little or as much pain as all of the rest of the people in the world in our lives as well. So at every conference, no matter where I have been, in Western Canada, in New Zealand, or here in Ottawa, there is a healing service that the clergy do for each other. It's a moment. It's a chance to let go and let God, as they say, to be open to God's healing and freedom and love, even if just for that brief moment, and to feel the love and support and freedom of being with one's colleagues in that space. Now, for many years, I participated in these services and found them to be very helpful and very moving, even if I had to go back to the rest of my world, the rest of the pain, and the rest of the things I was struggling with afterwards. When I came back to Ottawa, 6 years ago now, but 5 years ago in my job, I was at my first clergy conference here. And when the appointed hour approached, the first night for the healing service, I was startled because I realized I didn't need to go. There was some pain, of course, but nothing out of the ordinary. No extremely heavy weight or excruciating distress. No sense of impending doom or doom that had just passed. I realized, like the woman in the story, I was overcome with joy and gratefulness and realized I didn't need to go. How wonderful. Might need to go next year. Went lots in the past. But for that moment, I realized that I was healed in that moment, as healed as I could be. I guess all the counseling and turmoil and illness and damn hard work had paid off. At least I didn't need more in that moment. No love without freedom, no freedom without love. And this past week, Leslie and I and a couple of other of people from our diocese went to Winnipeg for the national consultation on vital and healthy parishes. There you go. And there were about 75 people from across our country gathered. One of my favorite things about the conference was our name tags simply had our names on them. So as the week went on, you actually had to talk to people to find out who they were in terms of where they came from, whether they were lay or whether they were clergy, or whether they were Lutheran or whether they were Anglican. It was a real mix. And we actually had to speak and talk and converse to find out our stories and to share our resources and our ideas with one another. Now, the first session was incredibly intense. We were gathered in small circle groups. And I had Mabel, a laywoman from the Diocese of the Arctic. And as white and pale as I am, even with my suntan, she was lovely and brown and had lovely laugh lines around her face. And she was quite a bit older than me, but kind of ageless. And Mabel mentors people in her northern community and told stories about that mentoring. There was John, who is bishop-elect from the Diocese of Central Newfoundland. John, who had grown up as a street kid on the streets, and who is now about to be elected their bishop. He had had a serious illness and almost died a couple of years ago, and there he was, ready to take on new ministry. And Mark, a Lutheran pastor from the States, but now serving in Canada, in Toronto. And with his whole experience of mosquitoes in Minnesota, to ministry in the Lutheran Church was a joy to hear from him. And Tasha, a laywoman from the Diocese of New Westminster who works in congregational development. Now, Tasha and I have a bit of a history. We went to theological college together, and we had not seen each other since. 23 years ago, and it was the first time we saw each other. The first thing we remembered was the last party we'd been at together. So we had some things to catch up with, and there was me. We were to share our context and then share something we felt was successful and something that had not been so successful. Now, you can appreciate those questions seem lighthearted, but when you're from all over the country and you don't know each other, we all took it seriously. And it was a bit of a jolt into my day, much like Simon probably felt when that woman came into his dinner party. Because we had an early wake up, 4 a.m. Winnipeg time, gotten on a flight, gotten to Winnipeg. We weren't able to check in, of course, because it was too early. We had to cool our heels at the residence, eat lunch, meet a bunch of people, get oriented, and then go to this session. So for me, it was a bit of an interruption into my day. It was being put on me when I really just wanted to have a nap. But I was a bit resentful at first, perhaps even felt put upon. But the spirit was at work, just like at Simon's dinner party. And I soon recognized this was a moment to listen and to share with integrity. And a funny thing happened. As we shared and as we listened, time stood still. We didn't cry, but one could feel the weeping. We didn't anoint, but one could feel the sensual touch of our stories. We did not kiss, but one could feel the deep respect and love. No matter what our contexts, which were vastly different, we could identify with one another. And some of Mabel's stories from the Northern Arctic and some of my stories actually met and touched. And in that identifying, somehow each one of us was touched and healed. The joy and learning from the stories of success was even brighter and more visible. The failure and the pain from the stories of things not so successful was forgiven and softened, and we became more free in ourselves. No love without freedom, no freedom without love, even when we don't want it. Jesus wants us to realize that we are all like the woman in today's gospel. She's come to Jesus with a large debt of sin, and we are all like that. We have things we have done, things we have not done, and we, so to speak, might feel like we owe God a large, unpayable debt. Our healing comes, though, when we, like the woman, kneel and accept the freedom and the love and the forgiveness that God has to offer us. And it comes even more when we pour out that onto others. In that moment this week, and in the moment whenever I was at clergy conference and didn't need to be there for the healing, God actually reached out and touched, perhaps not me at that moment, but through me, others. It happens. The freedom, the love, the forgiveness just pours into us. So we need to recognize those moments, because we can't hold on to them. They don't last. You know, Mabel, I met her on Monday, talked to her on Wednesday, and I will probably never, ever see her again. But that encounter is something to be recognized and notice. That moment when the Spirit of God is at work in your life. That is something to hold on to. That is something to remember. So may you be touched, and may you recognize those moments, and may you remember the moments because you've had them. No love without freedom, no freedom without love. Amen.